You're listening to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM, and we have a quiz question.
Oh, love it, love it.
Ready
love it,
to
love
go.
It. Lovely. We're all square. Lindsay reminded me that we're all square, one each.
One each, and we both one missed each. Out on the third one.
Yeah, we missed out on the third one. Yeah. I was closest. Not that I'm.
You were closest.
Not that I'm trying to be, like, you know. Because I'm non judgmental and non competitive.
Both of those things.
So, all those things, yes.
Just don't get me on a tennis court.
Okay.
Tennis court. Wow.
I'll let you have that one. I'm no good at things flying at my head. Can't even do ping pong.
Yes, fun playing ping pong with Lindsay. We could do like long volleys, you know, where you're just going nice and slow. But if you try to do something,
if you start playing,
she hit one of me real quick the other day, and I was like, where'd that come from?
Who's this?
Sheldon.
You and Shel.
Sometimes when we have a little extra free time, we go out the back and we play ping pong.
Ooh,
yeah,
wow. Yeah. I don't know if I want to play Danny. He's a tennis player, so he's probably okay.
Oh, I'm okay
with
ping pong. Yeah, I'm pretty okay with ping pong. Yeah. But,
all right, what was that?
All right, here
question?
We go. Here all we right. go.
You ready?
We're back into it now. What was the name of Rebecca's manipulative brother? What was the name of Rebecca's manipulative brother?
Oh, wait a minute. I haven't even started writing.
Too bad.
So sad. Two correct answers.
Literally, folk, this is rigged. She had the answer all written.
I was in the middle of reading it the second time through when she showed the answer, so it wasn't that rigged.
No.
I'm just slow. Yeah.
You're just slow.
Seriously, folk, I barely got the L out and she was handing over
don't
the answer.
Give any hints.
Oh, sorry.
You don't know where in the word the L is.
Now people know the answer's not Fauci. Okay. 0491064.
Fake Fauci. C for COVID, C for corruption. I'm telling you, the whole thing was a scam. A big scam.
Danny, you have to let me read out the number.
My screen has stopped. Oh, now it's working again.
Okay.
0491-064-669 is our text line. I'll say it again. 0491-064-669. What was the name of Rebecca's manipulative brother? And we have had quite a few people who have been texting in some thoughts that we should probably share.
Let's share.
Did
some
he plead the Fifth Amendment when he was cross-examined? Why?
I don't
did,
think this guy got.
Why did you deceive me when
I don't
later
think the
on?
Fifth was around with this guy. To be honest, this is about 2.5.
Why did you give me the wrong woman to marry?
Hold on, this is like 3,500 years.
Yeah, like
that.
I'm giving clues as I'm here railing on this deceptive behavior.
Anyhow.
Back to you.
Wayne sent us in a message way back at the beginning of the show when we were asking, you know, what are you grateful for this morning? And so Wayne says, good morning, blessings. I am grateful for that I'm mentally and physically able to serve our Lord and others today. GB. And I think...
Amen.
This God GB bless. Is God bless. Yeah. Good books.
Not Great Britain.
What, do you know who says GB, GB, GB?
No.
Do you know my friend James Pontil?
Oh, is that his?
Yeah, he likes
his little
to say
sign off.
GB, GB, GB. God bless, good books, and I don't know, give books. I don't know what the third one is. I always forget that one
because he does
a lot of
Ellie work,
literature evangelism, going door to door, selling great books to the community. And GB, GB, GB is a real important little tagline.
Nice, I love it.
So GB to you, Wayne.
Nice.
Alrighty. We also had, Janelle said she's loving the banter and humor of this morning's show. I'm loving it too. What else? Did we have another message that you wanted us to read?
Yeah, quite a few here. We got a great one from Sarah that was just in response to the interview we've just had. It says, good morning. What a brilliant segment. Very interesting. I will definitely share it with others. I have a pet bird, Larry, a beautiful princess parrot who likes to go to bed at sunset and gets up early. He knows when it's close to sunset. He goes back into his cage and to his little corner. I know now this is his way of saying I'm ready for bed.
That's so sweet.
I'm telling you, if you're ever called bird
nature
brain,
knows.
Yeah, if ever people put you down as a bird brain, take it as a compliment.
That's right. That means your circadian rhythm is obviously in sync.
Absolutely. So we all need to have a bird brain.
I remember back in like preschool, there was this girl who used to call me a turkey. And so I'd just like stare back at her and like make chicken noises or something. Be like, I'll take
Little did you know, little did you know that you were placed on a pedestal in connection with your intelligence from a young age.
I'm not going to take this as an insult. This is great.
Michael has texted in. He says, this was in relation to your segment, Danny. Mm. He says he was also involved in the Ebola outbreak in Africa. I'm not fact checking that, but that's what Michael says. Okay. Devo also said about the perfect storm that he's like, yay, go you two for the perfect storm. So, yes. Yeah. Awesome.
What was this Janelle saying? I got to keep up with the others. What was that about?
That was about the quiz.
Oh, okay.
I was telling her she was on a roll. She'd gotten them all right. She's gotten 4 out of 4 so far.
Oh, she's beating all of us.
Devo's also on 4 out of 4 today. So, yeah, we've got a couple of.
Maybe we need to get Janelle to be co-host and to take you off your perch.
Rude.
Seeing we're speaking of birds and chickens, take you off your perch.
Not allowed. I'm the only chicken allowed here, thank you. Slash turkey.
She's the rooster. She's the rooster here. She's going to be in charge. I can see it.
At least for one more week until Scappy gets back. Okay. Now, we have got our Encounter with God segment. What are we going to learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 8 today, Danny?
Well, we're going to learn all about how God's love and God's liberty go hand in hand. And and I wish we were looking at chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which is great.
We did it already, though, didn't we? Oh,
yeah, you guys have already done that. It's a great chapter.
You can give us a little highlight reel.
Well, look, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 obviously is the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 because, as we know, or maybe we don't know, but I'm going to let you know that, yes, the Apostle Paul, he didn't write chapters and verses. This was one letter. And so one follows along the other. So, yeah, in chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, he speaks there of marriage and how God established marriage in the Garden of Eden as a blessing to the human race. And that it's, you know, God's gift in marriage, and God enabled us to enjoy the gift of marriage and the gift of purity and companionship that come along with marriage, and that husbands and wives ought to serve one another. That's just so beautiful. You know, he says the husband doesn't belong to himself. He belongs to his wife. And the wife doesn't belong to herself. She belongs to her husband. Like, in a way to serve. You know what I mean? We are the think of the other. He talks there about marriage being preserved. And if ever there was a time and a day and age when we needed marriage to be preserved by God who invented marriage, then it's today. Because, you know, I believe a lot of the social ills that we encounter in our society are due to the breakdown of the family unit. Because you know what I say, Lindsay?
What do you say?
I say, as goes marriage and family, so goes society.
Ooh, that's a good thing to say.
As goes marriage and family, so goes society.
And is that a Danny original?
That's a Danny original.
That's really good.
Yeah. So, and the reason why I say that is according to the fifth commandment, okay, so the first four commandments look at our deal with our relationship with God, okay, the vertical. The next six look at our relationships with one another. Okay. And the very first commandment of those six that deal with our relationships with one another on the horizontal level is honor thy mother and thy father.
Yeah.
Okay? And it goes on, honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long in the land which the land thy God is giving you. In other words, it's a commandment with promise. In other words, if we place marriage and family first and foremost as our foundation for our society, guess what? It will go well for us.
Yeah.
Our days will be long and prosperous. We will have peace and prosperity, joy and happiness. But if the opposite happens, well, then we have the opposite result.
Yeah.
So that really is the foundation, marriage and family. And so, yeah, beautiful chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
And marriage and family is the thing that has been most explicitly attacked in the past few generations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are two blessings, major blessings that God has given to the human race in the Garden of Eden. The first one was marriage and blessing. I mean, marriage and family. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the word blessed is associated with that. The second one is the Sabbath. So guess what? Marriage and family under attack is preparing the way for the second blessing to be attacked in the not too distant future, the Sabbath. Have you thought about that?
Wow, yeah.
There you go. So that's how it works. So marriage should be preserved. It talks about that. Also talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that a Christian, husband or wife, can influence his or her unbelieving spouse.
Okay.
And he encourages that in a beautiful way. And he says, just by your conduct, by how you live your life, by your prayers, you can encourage your spouse in the ways of God, and you can encourage your spouse to go down that road. And I have seen that over and over again. Mm. I've had the privilege of baptizing individuals who were married to a believing spouse, but they were an unbeliever for one person for 20-odd years, and he gave his heart and life to the Lord just through a praying wife. Yeah, absolutely beautiful. I don't know if you guys, Shell, if you've encountered that, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Also talking about remaining faithful where God has called you. Singleness, I love the part on singleness, that God can provide, unique and wonderful opportunities for service for those who are single. And the Apostle Paul, he was single.
I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, so you can speak from experience. And so that's also a gift. You know, it's not everybody's gift. Otherwise,
And hopefully it's only a short-term gift.
So that's a gift as well. And ultimately focusing on the kingdom of God and that marriage, all our marriage decisions, our family decisions, our single decisions, whatever they may be, that they honor God and we live for God. So that was 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Can I just say also as far as the attack on marriage and family, something that I discovered in recent times is that feminism was kind of built on this idea with a subtle agenda to attack marriage and family.
100%.
Yeah. And so something that I, as a woman and as a woman who is very involved in ministry, I have decided I don't need feminism. I actually only need God's calling in my life.
Amen. Wow.
There's so many slogans out there for even men to jump on board and say, I need feminism because of this or because of that. Or whatever. I'm like, you don't need feminism. You just need to have a relationship with Jesus and a loving society that works together well. Mm. You just need to be uplifting each other, not uplifting one or the other. And there's been a lot of things that have come out as a pushback against feminism, and it's just kind of swinging the pendulum further and further
the away. Because it's always about divide.
Yeah, battle of the sexes.
Yeah, find a way to make one party dislike another party in some way or another rather than to have unity.
Well, the old saying is true, divide and conquer.
Yeah. You know, who's trying to conquer then?
Well, the enemy.
Exactly.
The enemy wants to conquer our lives. He wants to be ruler and master. He seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. That's John 10:10. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jesus came to give us the life and life more abundantly, and the enemy says, no, I don't want them to have the abundant life. I want to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all in John 10:10. So we can choose either option. And so sadly, the world is following the direction of the enemy, but we have God's word. We have Christ, and so we do not need to go down this trajectory.
Yeah.
Shell.
Have you ever heard of Paul Harvey? He was a radio guy from way back in the 60s.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we used to listen to him. My dad loved when Paul Harvey would come on in the 70s because I wasn't born in the 60s, obviously. But in 1965, he did a broadcast called If I Were the Devil. Have you ever heard that one, Danny?
Ooh. No, I haven't.
Okay, it's a YouTube clip. If anybody wants it, just...
If I Were the Devil.
I may have seen something circulating online recently, but
tell us.
Potentially.
Nice.
I'm not sure. It might be something as a spin-off, but tell us more.
Yeah, and it's basically all about that creeping compromise of how I would slowly get my way into your family and slowly destroy society. You know, ever so tenderly through this little box that sits in a corner, through all of these different things. It's a really, really well-written poem. And if you hear it now, it's just like mind-blowing because this was from 1965.
Prophetic.
When TV was like new and that sort of thing for people to have – one in their house. And
the
and
evils
whatnot.
Of the television. Yeah. I remember hearing sermons on that.
Yeah.
Now, nobody even watches
the
well,
television.
A few people
specific.
Do. Watch, yeah. the, Young people don't. The younger generation don't watch television.
We own a TV.
Exactly.
We have a tiny one that we carry in our pocket
exactly.
with us everywhere.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And do in micro doses Excellent. Whenever we want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a fantastic little listen. If you want it, just say
If I Were the Poem? Devil.
Yeah, or YouTube Harvey. Clip or whatever, yeah. or Paul Harvey, and I will send that.
That sounds
to you.
That sounds like C.S. Lewis. C.S.
Yeah,
Lewis
I was
is
thinking
famous.
That he's got yeah. screw tape letters that are
yeah,
similar.
And, yeah, he says the safest road to hell is the easy meandering without any serious bumps along the road that take you straight to hell.
Mm-hmm.
The
wow.
gentle, slopey.
Yeah,
downhill.
That's right. And Joe yeah. Cruz wrote a book called yeah. Creeping Compromise.
Yes, he did.
Which is very much yeah. on that.
George Knight point. Wrote a book, If I Were the Devil, as well.
Oh,
so
really?
There's yeah. a few that have taken that on board. And yeah, so the enemy is cunning and deceptive. And so we need to guard against that through the Word of God.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And now we have a raging torrent of a quiz answer and a cunning quiz
There we go.
Question.
I'm ready. I'm going to have to get this because it's 2-1.
Oh, boy. Okay.
2-1. Two, one. Two,
yeah.
one.
Wait, we've done 4 questions.
So there's 5 altogether, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah,
but he and I tied on not getting the correction.
Oh, you got one answer correct.
But I was closer, but I was closer to the right answer.
She didn't give it to you.
So listen, if I get this, it's going to be 2-all, and because I was closest to the wrong answer, I will have my.
That's not how we're playing this.
I will pepper at the post.
I put a blank line.
Producer's decision is final. Quiz giver.
She pleaded. She didn't even give an answer. She pleaded the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah, that's right.
So she pleaded the Fifth Amendment. I'm not going to answer question number 3. So that means I get it because I at least gave an answer.
Well, what All was right. that last quiz answer?
And
for
I'm not you being I'm right. not being judgmental, of course, but I think I'm right.
Okay.
You both
and
got number
wrong.
4 right.
Okay.
And that was Laban. That was the answer.
But
that
I got
we were
it
after
correct.
There. That yes. Rebecca's yeah, brother, I, manipulative brother. But nobody's being manipulative here.
No.
I don't think.
No.
not in this story. A little later on. But
you know what? I actually love.
I should have confiscated
characters.
Her pen off her. Should have confiscated her pen off her.
That would be cheating.
See, there is some manipulation happening.
Or attempted, or desired to.
All right, our last question is an easy one, too, so this will be a
here
speed
we go.
Line.
Here we go.
All right, Danny.
All right.
You play tennis. You know, you should have some speed abilities. You got to move fast, right? So age shouldn't matter here.
Unfortunately,
you're, you know.
It does. Everything
All right,
is
here's
larger.
The question.
Here we go.
Ready? Whose name means soil or mankind? Oh, that was just perfect.
That was a
You're
dead
missing.
Hit.
That was dead.
You know what?
That
I would have been quicker, but the first letter didn't actually write. It didn't come
the
out of the pen.
Fault. It's the
oh, there
fault.
We go.
I was
I knew it. I
we
knew
still,
it.
We were still so, exactly so. The same millisecond.
Oh dear.
Even with my handicap,
I barely. So. Look at the M. Look how fast the M was. Like,
yeah,
it was like,
very
whoa,
good.
Mate, that looks like a signature.
All right, I'm going to read out that question one more time and give the numbers. Okay. Whose name was? Whose name means soil? Or mankind. Whose name means soil or mankind? 0491-064-669. That text number is 0491-064-669. Back to you two
my
crazy
body
people.
Clock, my brain has just gone into meltdown. I'm so stressed dealing with Lindsay and just her ways and just her competitiveness. Oh. Dr. Simon, if you're still out there listening, please. Give me a call. You've got my number and help us out. Yeah.
You know,
I've got issues.
We had Ben the last couple of days as well, and he also said he was stressed out
by
me.
I'm telling you. I can't remember the last time I was this stressed out having to deal with Lindsay and her quizzes. I'm just like, she's just like so fast.
I enjoy people.
My heart rate has gone up.
Yeah.
My heart rate has gone up. Does she do this all the time, Shel?
Well, does she Scaffy do this to Scaffy? And her Scaffy are pretty intense competition to each other.
Scaffy just doesn't, like, go fast, though. He's just like, no, Lindsay, just slow down, you know? Stop trying to be so competitive. And I'm like, play with me.
She is so fast. So fast. Anyway, I'll know for next time. But she did warn me. She did warn me.
I did. I gave you heaps of heads up.
Lots of fun. So I think that's a tie. I think we're going to have to give it a tie.
Officially a tie.
Officially a tie.
I think that sounds very good.
All righty.
So, look, all is well when everyone ends up being on the same page. You know what I mean? That's when we all go home happy.
And we're talking about marriage here today. So hopefully that is a good segue into actual Bible study right now.
Amen. Amen. All right. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So let's start reading. Maybe if you'd like to read verses 1 to 3, and as we go along, we'll unpack as much as we can.
Let's do it. Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him.
Okay, so what is Paul acknowledging here? How does he begin?
He's talking about idols.
He's talking about idols.
Idol worship.
And food offered to idols.
Yeah,
okay, which was very common back in ancient times and worship. So people would go to their various temples and they would offer food to the idols. The priest would take on board food. And we're going to find out a little later on, the priest would then often sell that food at the marketplace that was offered to an idol. And so that kind of becomes a little bit of an issue, an issue of conscience, which we're going to get to a little later. But here, I like what Paul says. He talks about how knowledge can bring about pride. It can bring about this puffed up attitude within us. So there's nothing wrong with having knowledge, but if knowledge leads to pride, then it's not a good thing.
Is this an issue for me with the quiz time?
Now that you've brought it up. Whereas love looks at spirituality. You know, the Bible says you can have all knowledge. You can have all wisdom. You can do all things. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, when we get there. But if you have not love, it means nothing. Yeah. So I don't know about you, but for me, the thing that matters most is when I come across people who are very intelligent, but they're very humble. Like Dr. Simon.
Yes.
Dr. Simon definitely is a good example of that. He's a very intelligent man. Mm. He's a very gifted individual. Yet I've spoken to him, you know, in person, lovely guy, lovely family, very down to earth, very humble, very meek. And I think that is what the Apostle Paul here is trying to encourage us right from the get-go. Before he gets into this conversation any further, he makes that very, very clear. God is the one who recognizes the person who focuses on love. Love rather than pride, rather than being puffed up.
Yeah. Like, knowledge in of itself is not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
But having it with that humility, that other-centered, self-giving quality of love, that is a perfect combo.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and like, I've got the New Living Translation here, and this is what it says here in verse 2. It says, but while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church.
Mm.
Okay, so without love, you know, there can be divisions, there can be dissensions, and so on and so forth. All right, so that's the first thing. So let's continue. Well, I'm going from the New Living Translation to the KJV.
Righty-o.
Continueth in our deliberationeth. No, in our discussion. All right, so verses 4 to 6. Do you want to read verses 4 to 6?
Absolutely, let's do it. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. So obviously idols, they're not representing a true God.
That's right.
They're just a thing representing evil spirits, essentially. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live.
Okay, so here the Apostle Paul now, he speaks of as followers of God, as followers of Jesus Christ, we know that there is only one true God.
Yeah, there's one true God, and everything else that claims to be a God is an evil spirit.
Exactly. Exactly. So he's saying that...
Or a demon, in other words.
Exactly. So what he's saying is that, you know, we ought not to be focused and, you know, get all upset if someone has an issue with food offered to idols.
Okay.
Because we know that those idols are nothing. And, you know, he goes on later on and talks about, you know, if I eat food that's been offered to idols myself, it's not a big deal. You know what I mean? But then he talks about, you know, the stumbling block and for the sake of someone's conscience and being aware of someone's conscience, because that all goes back to the introduction, love. You know, how do we treat one another? Do we treat one another with love? Are we there thinking of the best interest of the other person, or are we thinking about our own interest?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what he's talking about there, you know, and we've, you know, all life, salvation comes through Christ alone. And you know, he reinforces this. And this is really the first commandment. If you think about it, what's the first commandment?
Do not. Like bow down to idols?
No, that's the second one.
But
the
first, I am the Lord your God, yeah, who brought you out of Egypt.
Yes,
and you will not worship anyone else.
That's right. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yeah. And then he talks about idolatry. So we know that there's only one true God, and so that's what he wants to lay out. So he's sharing with the believers in Corinth, to the Corinthian church. Okay, and there's obviously divisions amongst them because there's people coming in from the pagan culture, and they're becoming followers of Jesus.
Yeah, and even where it says in verse 6 that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. Like, he's the one who gives us life, and we belong to him. Like, our whole life is for him, and he is for us. But why do people worship idols? Like, they're trying to get stuff out of the spiritual world to advance their own lives and livelihoods, right?
That's right.
They're trying to do these transactions with these so-called gods and give them an offering so that they will send the rain and the sun and grow the crops and give them fertility of the land or of their families or whatever it might be in order to grow them, give them abundance and prosperity. We don't do that with God. We, like, our lives belong to Jesus. He blesses us as he so chooses, which is, like, in so many Amen. Wonderful ways.
Amen.
We don't have to have a transaction with him.
Amen. We don't have to beg him
yeah.
for his blessings, because he blesses us continually.
Willingly.
And because he's a God of love and he loves to give.
And he did the sacrifice, so we
Absolutely.
Don't have to do this.
Absolutely. So, so that's really, really important. So that's the foundation. Then in verse 7, he really now begins to share why he's given us such an introduction. So if you want to read verse 7.
However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Do you want me to keep going?
No, we'll just pause there for a minute.
Sure.
So now he's talking about believers who, you know, they still have this thinking, okay, because they've just come out of paganism.
They
just come out of idolatry, exactly. Yeah. That they haven't become mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, as far as they're concerned, you know, these idols are still real.
Yeah.
You know, even though we know they're not real, he's just talked about that, because we serve only one God. And the true God, all other gods are false gods. They're just rubbish.
Even though they're saved, they don't have the mental
That's right.
change
they're
in
baby, They're baby Christians.
They haven't got it all yet.
That's right. So he says, so when they eat food, and I'm reading from my New Living Translation, so when they eat food, okay, this food that was, you know, offered to idols, that has been offered to idols, they think of it as the worship of real gods, and their weak consciences are violated. Okay, so that impacts them.
Yeah, because they think they're doing something they shouldn't be doing,
That's
but
right.
they're getting away with it, so it should be fun. Oh, what is going on here?
That's right, exactly. So, for example, you know, I'm a newbie. I'm a new believer that's come in. You've been a Christian for some time.
Yeah.
And you've heard the gospel. You're well-grounded in the gospel.
Yeah, I know this food is not an issue.
That's right. So for you, it's not an issue. So you bring in some food to the church potluck lunch,
yeah.
right, that you bought at the market, that was offered to idols, that was sold there by the priest, who gets, you know,
And I don't care because I'm like, that's not impacting anything.
Because
you've attached to it.
You have moved beyond that. That's right. You have moved beyond that. But they literally, last week they gave their heart to Jesus.
Okay? Like, what is she doing?
And last week they were in the temple providing this food to the priests and offering it to the idols and so on and so forth. And they're like, how could she be doing this? Doesn't she know that she's worshiping an idol?
Yeah.
And she's bringing that idol food into the potluck here at church. How am I supposed to eat that? I want to leave that behind, and yet I have that here.
But then by my influence of me just do-do-do-do-do going along by my having my life, like eating this food that they think is like bad still, and then they're like, oh, well, she seems to be okay with it, and she's a better Christian than me, so maybe I can eat it too, even though I think it's wrong. And, oh, I feel so bad about this, but, like, oh, what am I doing? Yeah, so conflicted, even though they're influenced by somebody, and the influence is not what is intended.
That's right. That's exactly right. So so that's why the Apostle Paul goes on in verse 8, if you want to read verse 8.
Verse 8 says, but food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. Continue.
Keep going.
But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak.
That's the point. So if someone has an issue with that food, they're not there yet. Hey, don't buy that food that was offered to idols. Bring food that wasn't offered to idols. Maybe bring some food from your veggie garden, okay, that wasn't offered to idols. Bring that food, make a dish from that food so you're not compromising. Well, not so much compromise. So you're not impacting the conscience of this person that is growing and developing. You know, in a few weeks' time, in a month or two, that person will be on the same page as you. They would have understood. But for their sake, hey, don't like some people are like determined, there's nothing wrong with this, I'm just going to keep doing it, whether you like it or not. It's a bit like in marriage. You know, there are some hills worth dying on, and there are some hills, most hills, that are not worth dying on. There are some things that I'm going to stand up for and some things that my wife knows that I'm not going to budge on, you know, that this is my principle. But there are many things, many more things that I'm willing to say, yeah, look, it's not a big deal. It's not an issue of faith. It's not an issue of salvation. I'm willing to go along with this. I'm willing to, you know, for example, I'm plant-based. Sure. Right? I'm a vegetarian. But if I go to one of my Rello's place there in Macedonia when I visit,
Woodwog food. Okay,
and they kill their favorite chicken. Oh, speaking of chickens, let's throw them back in the mix. They kill their favorite chicken and the lady prepares it. You know, the family member has turned up from Australia. He hasn't been here for the last 10 years or whenever it was.
They want to honor you.
She wants to honor me. She gives me the best. And for me to refuse to eat that chicken, you know, will be me totally disrespecting them and totally, you know, making her feel really, really rotten and awful.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do that. So I'll eat a bit of chicken and I'll thank her for it and I'll survive.
Yes.
I will actually live through that day.
Yes.
Somehow I'll make it through that day. Yeah. So that's an issue of conscience where you don't want to be a stumbler because I want to win the friendship. I want to win the trust. I want to ultimately lead my family member to Christ.
Yeah.
So that's the bottom line.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We just had a final couple of thoughts about our
quiz answer first.
Quiz answer, and then you can do your thoughts.
I will be quick. So the quiz answer to our number five was Adam. His name means soil or mankind.
Yes, yes, it does, because he was mankind brought up out of the soil.
That's right. That's right. Makes sense. From the dust you are, to dust you shall return.
We're dirt.
We are dirt. All right. So let's finish off this Bible study. And if you want to read, and this really is the conclusion of what we've been talking about. The Apostle Paul here lays it out. So 1 Corinthians chapter 8, from verse 9 all the way to the end of that chapter to verse 13. Could you read that for us,
I'll
please?
Be speedy if I can.
Yes.
But beware, lest somehow the liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you, who have knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat again, lest I make my brother stumble.
Mm, so there you go. See, the Apostle Paul is saying, focus on your brother's salvation, on your sister's salvation.
Be loving in your liberty, in your freeness in Christ to eat whatever or do whatever, because you know it's not connected to a false God. Mm-hmm. But be mindful of who is watching or who you're influencing.
That's
Can they, in their understanding at this level, get what you're doing and why you're doing it? If they can't, bring it down a notch.
That's right. So just because it's lawful doesn't mean it's loving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lawful does not necessarily mean loving. Focus on that which is loving. So, yeah, I love the New Living Translation and how it renders this in verse 13. So, if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again as long as I live, for I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. And that's the bottom. And that's a good principle in everything that we do as followers of Jesus. Yeah. We need to do our best not to create stumbling blocks for those who are weaker in their faith, but instead to encourage them, to lift them, and to strengthen them.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, in our final moments of this show, what's been your favorite part of today's show?
The quiz.
The quiz?
No.
the competitiveness.
Oh boy, no. Look,
it's usually my thing that I say.
No, look, I've just really enjoyed, you know, the Bible study, the one on Nehemiah, the one from Nehemiah in connection with, you know, God reminding the people that they needed to have this wilderness experience to remind them of how God protected them in the past. But what we talked about as far as we all need a wilderness experience, probably I'd say the top thing that I enjoyed most was probably Dr. Simon.
Yeah.
I think Dr. Simon's insights.
He's definitely our gold star of the day. I think it was so good.
Yeah, I think so, as far as I'm concerned. That was really, really powerful, very insightful, very practical, very sobering as well.
Yeah. Hey, look, I've really enjoyed.
And hanging out with you two ladies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably even above Dr. Simon, hanging out with Lindsay and Shell.
This
what a privilege. How often does that happen?
This has been an unbelievable day, hanging out with you. Shell, any thoughts? You good?
Final thoughts? No, let's just get back here again next week and do some more of the same.
Yeah. Amen.
With our listener, we want you to join us next week too.
Absolutely. When you join us next week, we're looking forward to seeing you then, or talking to you then. Remember to talk faith, live faith, and act faith, and you will grow strong in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. Counsels guide, uphold you, with the sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Until we meet again at Jesus' feet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.